What is up, Level Up Nation, and welcome to episode 122 of the Level Up Podcast, your home for gaming and esports news, brought to you by the Overtime Network. My name is John, and I am joined by the guy who refuses to wear green on St. Patrick's Day. It's the king of the Blarney Stone, Joey. What's up, leprechaun hater?
And now, I would love to hear where you get this from. First of all, I'm Irish. Second of all, who says I don't wear green on St. Patrick's Day?
Just a little rumor I heard from someone. I can neither confirm nor deny, and I will not divulge my sources either, because that would be against my integrity. I will not give you my sources. Yeah, you're a leprechaun hater, and you don't wear green on St. Patrick's Day, which makes
That's such an esports thing to do. Just label it as sources.
Oh, why not? Sources. Nation, those sources might be divulged later on Twitter, so make sure you follow the show on Twitter. And while you're at it, on Instagram and Facebook, too, that's at the Level Up Podcast. That's at the LVLUP Podcast. And while you're at it, give Joey a follow. He needs some followers. That is at Courtside King. And while you're at it, give me a pity follow. That's at Fiasco. Both of those will be in the show notes for you below if you're listening onto the podcast. If you're watching here live on Twitch, welcome. Those handles are right below our mugshots you are staring at right now. Nation, the creators of Pokemon Go have announced a new mobile game that is featuring a certain wizard. Will it be as troubled as Pokemon Go is slash still was still is? I mean, it's still a troubled game. Troubled mobile games is just one topic on this week's show. Joey, what else are we talking about this week on episode 122?
Well, I'll be honest, John, I did not expect that direction at the top of the show. Other than that, we're talking about a whole bunch of partnerships, definitely some big ones happening in North America as well as Asia, so we'll be breaking those down for you guys. Other than that, we have some other big esports events coming up. Again, a lot of these in Asia. Asia really taking our notes for this week.
And Joey, the reason I put it there, because before we started the show, we were talking about how in the world are we going to bring up the topic of this mobile game? So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to put it out front so people can expect it later on. And when it does pop up, it will be incredibly random in the spot where it pops up. So you're warned. A random mobile game created by the creators of Pokemon Go will be popping up later in the show. But Joey, we can't even talk about troubled mobile games and all these amazing topics yet until we announce our drink of choice, which will help us through this episode. So Joey, for the 122nd time, I need a beverage, please.
John, this evening I am drinking some bourbon. I'm going with Angel's Envy this time. I believe this is a bottle my wife got me for Valentine's Day.
Oh. Well, I'm taking a very Joey route, and I'm ditching the alcohol today. I'm going with a glass of sweet tea on my Washington Capitals Stanley Cup Finals souvenir cup. Rocking the red. Esports edition on the Level Up Podcast with no alcohol. I could have made it. I could have put a little rum in there, put a little vodka in there, but I decided to hold back a little bit. We have a long evening ahead of us, Joey. So enough about our beverages. Let's get right into it, Joe. Let's get right into gaming and esports news. Let's go.
I like it, John. Giving that liver a break. G2 Esports roster acquisitions here. Intero coming in, saying goodbye to Goga as far as Rainbow Six comes in. Rainbow Six, John, we talk about it all the time. It is a growing scene. G2, one of the top teams in that scene. Now they're making a great roster move here. And then over into Team Liquid, they're declaring their intent into Apex Legends. So far, they have announced Casper moving from Blackout to Apex for Team Liquid, and then Flanker coming in to play under the Liquid flag as well. John, this is just one team of many that we've seen buy into Apex, Team Liquid being one of those more premier teams as far as these particular types of games go. I believe they were in Fortnite. I believe they were in PUBG, now moving into Apex.
Yeah, and the Team Liquid Apex team is out really off to a great start already. A lot of people consider him one of the top contending teams based upon their roster already. They're already performing incredibly well. Looks like they already have that synergy, that chemistry that's incredibly important when it comes to esports, especially when it comes to a team esport, kind of like Apex here, where it's a three-person squad. For now, we'll see if duos and solos come out later on. But I like it. I like the roster. I think Team Liquid put together a really solid roster that will compete with a lot of rosters that are already structured out there. So if you're a Team Liquid fan, guess what? Start paying attention to their Apex team, because this roster is stacked for Team Liquid.
Yeah, not only that, John, but again, this is going to continue to grow and continue to grow. And the real question mark is going to be, how does it compare to other Battle Royale titles? I'm like choking on myself over here. That bourbon's a little strong tonight. Whoo. Yeah, so overall, how's it going to compare to other Battle Royale titles who've not been able to really break it into the esports scene? Fortnite has failed. PUBG has failed. Now we're sitting here with Apex. Can it continue to build upon its early success so far in the month?
And really, that's going to come down to also is Respawn and EA and the creators of Apex going to allow these teams to actually be represented? Are they going to be able to wear their team jerseys, their team colors, and represent their team at these tournaments, at these, you know, if it develops into a league, at these events? We see Epic Games and Fortnite still not allowing these players to represent their organization, which at the end of the day really hurts the organization, and not just the Fortnite esports scene. So, you know, it's kind of a double whammy there if you're a Fortnite fan and you're looking for that scene to continue to grow as an esport title. But Apex, as of right now, everything seems to be going the direction that everyone expects it to go, which is teams are allowed to rock their team jersey, their team colors, and they don't have to hide the fact they're on Team Liquid, Cloud9, and or whatever organization they're representing. So as of right now, step in the right direction. Will it develop into something even bigger? We still have to wait and see. We've mentioned it multiple times. We are a little skeptical on how Battle Royales can do in a formatted esport league. But Apex has that hype, has that ability, and if they play it right, I feel like they might be the Battle Royale title to possibly go forward to become an esport league.
Yeah, I mean, the big thing Apex has playing in its favor right now is the fact that it's watched so many other scenes develop and fail, in a sense. PUBG's done a few things right, Fortnite's done a few things right. Apex can take all of that information and build their own scene with it, and hopefully look at other scenes like Overwatch League, like League of Legends, like Dota 2. If they continue to build upon all these other scenes already out there, find out what works well. Again, you and I have suggested the CSGO tournament format as far as a good move for Battle Royale titles. We're going to have to wait and see what Respawn, what EA decides to look at in terms of building this scene up. So far, we've only seen minor tournaments hop up here and there. We saw Twitch Rivals, which was kind of their first jump in with streamers. But yeah, a lot of stuff still developing here, but a lot of organizations buying into it. Speaking of buying in, your boys Cloud9 over here, AT&T has bought in. They're going to be a presenting partner of a new content series that will cover all 12 of C9's competitive teams across all 10 titles that they currently compete in. On top of that, they will also sponsor C9's communications hub in its headquarters and put a logo on the back and sleeve of the team's jerseys. John, this is a huge monumental partnership. We've seen phone companies buy in before, I believe T-Mobile and Sprint. Now AT&T jumping in.
Yeah, and they're jumping in head first here. Like, AT&T has played a little bit of a role in the gaming and esport community before. They've sponsored a couple tournaments. I believe they actually assisted with Razer's development of that first mobile gaming phone, that phone that was specifically made for mobile gaming, which was kind of a, you can call it hit and miss. But it was still a good effort. AT&T has shown that they are willing to jump into esports head first. This partnership is putting the money where their mouth is. And, I you know, it's perfect. Not only do their colors match up with Cloud9, which I'm saying that for a reason for our next topic that we're touching on, but it's perfect because AT&T isn't going to be one of those sponsors that is going to, like, focus on Cloud9 and tell them, hey, pull back the memeing, pull back some of the funny stuff and the weird stuff that you guys do. No, they're all for being themselves. The new content that they're going to be sponsoring, the Niners, which really makes me think of that 21 Pilots song, Nico and the
Niners. I was just going to ask.
Yeah, I'm sitting here, it's like Nico and the Niners are playing in my head right now. It's going to be awesome. And in this press release from AT&T's website, they even mentioned memeing, which cracks me up. This is a huge telephone company that, I mean, it's absolutely massive. It's worldwide, and they're talking about memes. That's absolutely awesome. It's a perfect partnership with Cloud9 and Jack. Kudos. That is a huge, huge deal with AT&T.
And, John, the series name is actually The Nines, not The Niners. A little too 21 Pilots going on over there.
Sorry. Hey, I'm sorry. I'm a fan.
But, hey, if you still had Jensen, you could even do Nico in The Nines. Mm. Oh, I just went there. But, yeah, overall, I think this is a really good move. AT&T continues. I'm actually an AT&T consumer. I end up
subscriber.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Yeah, what is it called? I pay bills to them. That's
customer?
What I do. Yeah, customer. Let's go with that. So AT&T, I think they're doing a good job. They bought into DirecTV this past year, the year before. They continue to buy into different streaming options, offer more for their mobile developers and mobile viewers or users. as well. So I think this is another step forward. As AT&T continues to dive into technology, esports is the next prominent thing coming up. With the huge estimate in 2020 of like $2.1 billion in the industry, AT&T needs to buy in. They're doing it at the right time, and they're doing it with the right organization, in my opinion, as well.
I'm going to go ahead and petition AT&T to change the title from the Nines to the Niners, please.
I mean, you could. I mean, both fit in a sense. Anything. They yeah, do. I mean, but Cloud9 is just so pun-worthy and memeing.
I have zero pull as a Sprint customer, so, you know.
For now. You never know. We'll have to wait and see. But that's not the only sponsorship Cloud9 pulled in. They also now have a Team Automotive sponsor, which seems to be the theme of things around esports right now. Everyone has an automotive sponsor. Now C9 buying in with BMW.
Yeah, and this is freaking massive. SK Gaming has Mercedes. I believe Team Liquid has Honda. Just name a few off the top of my head. Now Cloud9 has BMW, Bavaria Motorworks. That is absolutely massive. And again, fits with the color scheme. I see a pattern here, Cloud9. You're going with that blue and white and black, and AT&T's there, the blue, white, and black. This is awesome. I love seeing cars come into esports. That's one of the things that you see in traditional sports. You have the official car of the NFL, of the NHL, of the NBA, of a certain team and whatever. Now we're seeing that in esports. Those contracts are massive. And as esports develop into this projected $2.2 billion industry by 2020, we're going to see more of this. And these car dealers, these car manufacturers are not sitting around. They're jumping in while the money is there. And it's so smart. It's so incredibly smart. And I love the image that they use to announce this deal. Because just like I gave kudos to AT&T for knowing what memes are and what memeing is, BMW did the same thing. Joey, in the press release, there is a image of Sneaky in cosplay. Front and center right of the image. As a Cloud9 fan, as someone who enjoys a good meme, I want a BMW now. I can't afford a BMW, but I want one now.
I mean, not only that, but they also included Zazel's beard. It was like a win-win situation.
Glorious Zazel's beard. Amazing.
Yeah, I was surprised by like the whole image. I wasn't sure what to expect with the image. I'm like, because they can't fit all their players in one image. But I think they did a good job including some of the highlight players. Obviously, you got Jack in there, Sneaky Cosplay, Zazel's beard. I think it's a pretty winning partnership right there.
And a beautiful, beautiful BMW front and center, too. Ooh, it's a good-looking car.
I'm surprised they did not go with the Cloud9 color, though. I thought they might have thrown a Cloud9 color car in there with the Cloud9 logo on the hood.
You know, I thought about it, too, but it wouldn't really stand out if it was another, like, black and blue car. It would have to be mainly, like, a white car to really kind of pop out there. I think
exactly.
The orange, I think it's big enough that it stands out, but it doesn't overpower the fact that it's a Cloud9 partnership.
No, Sneaky overpowers everything in that image.
Oh, Sneaky is just, he's amazing. Great guy. Huge fan.
His cosplay is just too good at times.
It's,
we'll go ahead and leave it there. Moving over to Asia, we have Singtel and SK Telecom joining forces to grow esports in Asia. Quoted from Esports Bets, the two companies look to cooperate and leverage each other's assets and capabilities to further expand competitive gaming in Asia. With its massive fan base and numerous professional organizations, Asia represents one of the biggest markets for esports globally. John, this is huge. Two ginormous companies coming together in Asia to continue to expand esports. Esports already being so big in Asia, but if you bring two of the biggest companies over there together, this is one way to continue expanding it. You're going to reach more markets, and it's going to continue to grow.
I want to see how this happens because like they already said it in their press release. Esports is already massive in Asia. How are you going to make it even bigger? It's like, I don't know. It's like, can you take the biggest thing in the world and make it bigger? I can't wrap my mind around it. I can't wrap my mind around it. How are you going to make esports bigger in Asia? Unless you're taking it to countries that maybe haven't had the chance to explore esports. Like if you go down to your Southeast Asia countries. If you go, you know, Vietnam is an up and coming country when it comes to esports. If you go, you know, Thailand, if you know, the Philippines, you know, take a look at some of these other areas that esports might be there, but it's still a developing scene. It's not a China. It's not a South Korea. It's not I even throw Japan in there, since Japan legalized esports as a legitimate professional career path. Japan's even ahead of it, you know. So that's the only way I can see them growing this thing in Asia even more, is if they're taking it to those other countries that have that starting point but haven't really fully developed into the behemoth that is China and South Korea, and Japan still being an up-and-comer, but they're still present there in the esports scene.
And that's the key, John. Asia is so large. It's the biggest continent on Earth, I believe. I'm pretty confident I'm good at saying that. I haven't measured them out, but I'm pretty confident in saying that. But there's so many different areas that they can reach out to, even in China. China is so massive in and of itself. I feel like you can easily reach out within China to certain regions that might not have gotten it yet. Obviously, you might not want to go to the farming region. It might not be as popular there. But there are definitely places in China, in Asia, that they can continue to expand to. One way of doing that is just sponsoring tournaments. Let's do a tournament in a smaller Southeast Asian country and continue to build up the esports scene there. It's definitely doable, and these two companies can get it done. Allied Esports has expanded its naming rights deal with HyperX to include two European properties, a mobile arena, and a broadcast facility in Germany. So Allied Esports, a huge European mobile arena already there named Big Betty, has joined the HyperX Esports truck brand, while its production and broadcast facility in Hamburg, Germany, has been renamed the HyperX Studio. This is coming from the Associated Press. In addition, the agreement follows two previous naming rights announcements between the companies for HyperX Esports Arena in Las Vegas, which we have definitely talked about on the show, and then Allied Esports Global Flagship Arena, which we just mentioned there, and the North American HyperX Esports truck, currently named Big Meta as well. So this is not the first deal for HyperX in this area. They've also sponsored, obviously, gaming headsets out there, many organizations, many teams. But HyperX continuing to expand, and they're expanding the brand globally, which is the big key here. They're not just looking North America. They're continuing to expand in different global regions.
Yeah, and HyperX is one of those names that is familiar with gamers and esports fans. Joey, if you guys are watching live on Twitch, Joey's rocking those amazing HyperX clouds. I believe those are the Cloud 2s, correct?
Mm-hmm, yep.
And I have those as well. I use those for gaming, not for podcasting. So if you end up watching this, I'm currently rocking Audio-Technica, so I apologize, HyperX. But I recently bought a HyperX large mouse pad to go across my entire desk. HyperX makes quality products, and their name on anything automatically brings that influence that they have. HyperX is now a naming partner for the amazing esports arena in Las Vegas. And Joey, this mobile arena called Big Betty, I about lost it when you said that. Why Big Betty? Like, I get the esport truck, the North American HyperX esport truck named Big Meta. That makes sense. But Big Betty, that's interesting. I'd maybe call it, well, calling a big rig sounds bad already, because it sounds like an 18-wheeler. But anywho, I like it. It's absolutely great. It's a huge partnership deal, and HyperX, like you said, is going international with this. And if you didn't know HyperX prior to the naming rights, prior to seeing this in your country, or I don't know how you can be a gamer and not know HyperX personally, but it's great for them. It's great for gaming, and it's just great for their title, their brand, I should say, overall.
Okay, first and foremost, HyperX, if you'd like to sponsor this podcast, I will make sure that John wears HyperX headsets during it. With that being said, John, check the link I just sent you. This is a look at Big Betty.
Where was the link?
It's in the Discord chat.
Here's the problem. If I go into the Discord chat, our beautiful mugshots like go really weird.
Now it is in our show notes, so check that. It's gorgeous. I mean, it's a huge, ginormous truck.
Big-Betty.com. Is this safe for me to open?
It is. This is definitely
Oh, my
safe.
Gosh. Are we going to breach Twitch TOS here by doing this?
Oh, my gosh.
No, okay. So I can confirm it is a truck. That is a beautiful truck. Okay, here. I'm going to try to do something here.
It looks more like a Big Bertha than a Big Betty to me.
If you're watching on Twitch, I currently have my window over our beautiful faces. You can kind of see the truck there.
Oh, here we go. Famous last words when the podcast goes mobile down on stream.
mobile truck here. That looks really good. I'm actually really impressed with that. That is a solid looking truck there with the mobile stage and everything. I'm actually really impressed by that, Joey.
Yeah, I mean, it looks pretty good. It looks like it's state-of-the-art as well. Tons of technology. If you scroll down, it shows like the control room, the commentator booth. There's also a picture of people outside of the truck for a competition. It actually looks like a concert, but I'm not exactly sure what
it
they're playing.
It kind of does.
Yeah, so, I mean, it says they do it for other things, though. They do sports presentations, poker final tables, corporate events and launches, online poker, music festivals. So that probably is a music festival, actually. But yeah, so Big Betty here, she's looking gorgeous, and she does esports as well. Hey, HyperX. Good times. Let's transition that to E-League. E-League and Psyonix Studios are partnering up to host a four-day Rocket League event featuring exhibition matches between the game's top collegiate teams. John, this is going to happen during the NCAA Final Four Fan Fest in Minneapolis, Minnesota, from April 5th to the 8th. This is also going to include a feature series, which I believe they started last year, and now they're continuing to film that into the next two seasons, season 7 and 8, and Turner Sports ad sales. So this is actually kind of like what we saw with Team Liquid do for Twitch. They're going to allow Turner Sports to run all ad sales to represent the advertisement during this particular these seasons upcoming, season 7 and 8. So I'm really excited for this. I feel like this partnership continues to be a love fest, honestly. E-League and Psyonix continue to hold tournaments, continue to expand each other's brands, and I really like the way this is looking.
This is massive. Like, if you are not a college basketball fan, the turnout for college basketball tournaments, whether it's your conference tournament or whether it is March Madness, the NCAA tournament leading all the way up to the Final Four, it's absolutely massive. People travel from all over the country, sometimes internationally, to come watch their alma mater, or if they're just a fan of the game, of basketball, college kids included. I can't tell you, I had a friend that went to Butler during Butler's amazing prominence where they kept going to the Final Four over and over and over and over. They traveled from Indiana to Texas to Florida. Don't quote me on that. I can't remember all the Final Fours were, but he traveled all over the place for it. And that's what college kids do. Guess what? College kids play Rocket League too. It is a perfect partnership here for an age range, for an age group, for a generation that plays video games and may also follow college basketball. It's perfect. E-League and Psyonix Studios and TBS is a perfect, perfect matchup here to bring esports to a larger audience. There's so much possibility with this agreement here.
Oh, and John, it's like we already said, Rocket League is such an easy game to pick up, whether you're a gamer, whether you're a sports advocate. The controls might not be the easiest, but the understanding of the objectives of the game are pretty self-explanatory. The ball goes in the goal, you get points for it. And this is really well done because college basketball, at least to my knowledge, does not have a video game out at the moment. I think all of those college games are out because of naming rights. So now that there's not a basketball game, you could go the NBA 2K League route, but a lot of college basketball players, it's almost hit or miss if they like basketball. So bring in something completely different. Bring in Rocket League. They might be soccer fans, they might not. But either way, I feel like anyone I've ever introduced Rocket League to, whether they like gaming or not, whether they're complete gamers, whether they're not gamers at all, they all give Rocket League a try because it's fun, it's interesting, it's innovative. And I feel like this is going to be a really big hit there at the Final Four.
I really feel like Rocket League is kind of on the same level, if you will, with Mario Kart. Mario Kart, when it first came out on the N64, was one of those games that gamers and non-gamers could play together as a very straightforward game. You are in Mario Kart, you're racing cars, you get shells, you get mushrooms, anything that give you little abilities. But ultimately, at the end of the game, is a straightforward racing game with characters that are family-friendly that people absolutely love. Rocket League is a very straightforward game. Most points win. It's like basketball. It's like hockey. It's like football. It's like soccer. It's like every sport in the world. It's RC cars. Who doesn't love RC cars? They are rocket-powered RC cars. Who doesn't love rocket-powered RC cars? Simple as that. It is absolutely perfect. Those two games are perfect for gamers and non-gamers alike, and anybody can pick it up, look at it, and within 5 minutes, get a hang for the game. They may not be able to play on an elite level, but they can play, they can compete at a basic level, and that is what is important. You have to get that basic understanding first. That's where you start hooking people in to video games and the idea of esports at a traditional sport tournament like this, and you continue to grow the scene on out from there. I absolutely love this.
And with that, from Rocket League and Final Four basketball to the NBA 2K League, they have partnered up with Rainer Esports as the official gaming chair partner of the league. John, this is something we see in many prominent leagues already. They all have their own gaming chair sponsors. Now the NBA 2K League, as it continues into its second season, we're going to see them with the chair sponsor as well.
Yeah, and in season one, they had those amazing like lounge gamer chairs. Kind of reminds me of like the console chairs that one of the local gaming centers here in the Washington, D.C. area Tech Time Gaming Lounge has. It looks like a legitimate esports recliner. It's not like, you know, an AR racing chair or any of those other typical chairs like a Titan chair or anything like that, or Lab Secret, pardon me, or Secret Lab. There we go. Blank on the name there. It's not like your traditional like desk chair, like you will, but they're lounge chairs. So I'm kind of curious to see, will Rainer Esports continue that, or are we looking at going to a legitimate desk-style gaming chair going forward? I kind of hope they stick with the lounge version of those chairs just for the NBA 2K League, because standing up trash-talking is kind of a part of that sport, of that esport. And if you have a chair on wheels, that chair is going to go flying when people stand up when they are pumped with adrenaline, because I just nailed a game-winning three-point shot from half court.
So I get where you're coming from, but I also think the ergonomic feel of the other chair is better, like the desk chair. Some of those lounge chairs, I'm thinking, like, your back and your neck cannot be that comfortable for the game. If you're in a more comfortable chair, maybe you perform better on stage. I mean, I'm with you, though. I still want the standing up. I want the energy that the NBA 2K League has, as I feel like that's kind of what makes it stand out among other esport titles in that sense. But at the same time, I want the players to be comfortable, man. I want them to perform at their best.
Oh, they are comfortable. They're all leaning forward. None of them are leaning back. No one's actually sitting with proper posture in their chairs while they are gaming. Joey, you and I, when we play, I'm all hunched over my keyboard. I am like eye to eye with my screen, making sure I know what I'm doing. I make sure I'm catching every little pixel that dances around wherever I need to watch. So I don't know if it's about being comfortable as much as it is what's more effective to prevent a $300 chair flying across a multi-million dollar studio in downtown.
Well, there's mats that can do that as well. But okay, so one thing I'm trying to do is sitting more proper as far as gaming, like keeping your elbows at a certain angle and stuff, because it can increase mouse speed sensitivity. Well, not sensitivity in and of itself, but like flick control more or less. So like in playing games, like with a sniper rifle, I'm trying to increase my flick control. And stuff like that, if you sit properly, obviously NBA 2K League is very different, so this is kind of unrelated at this point. But yeah, okay, I'll just continue this later on.
I don't know, Joey, whenever I have a controller in my hand, I recline my gaming chair, I kick my feet up, I lean to the side. I'm completely in bad posture when it comes to playing anything with a controller, unless I'm playing Rocket League on my PC. Then I'm kind of like more upright and whatnot. But when it comes to anything else, you know, I try to do the same thing. I try to maintain a decent posture, but you know, I have a gaming chair. I have that back support pillow. I got that neck pillow going on. It kind of keeps me situated, but when it's game time, when I really got to focus, when it's like, you know, minute 40 in a League of Legends game. Yeah. Cause we're that low in the Elo. I lean forward a little bit, you know, so it kind of, it depends upon the game. We'll leave it there.
No, yeah, I'll definitely give you that. And NBA 2K, like you said, is a more relaxed game, and not in the play style in and of itself, but with the controller aspect, you don't really have to touch a bunch of keys. It's just simply a controller. So that definitely plays into it being a more relaxed game. So we'll have to see what happens. It looks like historically this chair company goes with more of that desk style chair, but they could end up designing something like we saw in season one as well. And sticking with the NBA 2K League, history was made last week with the season two draft. We ended up seeing Chiquita Evans drafted as the first female to enter the NBA 2K League, going to Warriors Gaming Squad with the 56th pick overall. John, this is super exciting. Not only is it great seeing a female enter into the NBA 2K League, but the cheers that she got from the audience was really the big point for me. As females continue to make their way into esports and into the prime aspect of that competition, it's great to see people support them as they go. The NBA 2K crowd just continued to cheer. I didn't really hear any boos on stream at the very least. It seemed like everyone was super supportive of Chiquita, and they knew that she should be there and that she deserved her spot.
Yeah, I mean, she competed in the same combine under the same rules as all of the male competitors out there, and she was able to kick a lot of their butts, and she was drafted, and it's really awesome. And while this is a defining moment for female gamers in esports, I believe it was Slasher who said on Twitter, you know, while this is a great moment and it will go down in history and it's great for esports, imagine a world where a female gamer being drafted isn't that kind of earth-shattering news, where female gamers are on the same level and accepted in esports as their male counterparts in esports. That's really where esports is trying to get to, realizing that male gamers and female gamers, it doesn't matter. You know, if you can play the game, you can play the game. And if you play at a high enough level and you get drafted, awesome. That's great. That's perfect. But until we get to that point where it's seen as, you know, equality, if you will. It's absolutely awesome that she was drafted first female player in the NBA 2K League. And Joey, I think that's the big thing that you hit on was the community support. Everyone in that room, in that draft room, jumped up and started cheering. People came up and surrounded her. They realized what this moment was and is. I'm incredibly excited to see her play with Warriors Gaming Squad. I will be watching a lot more of their games because as of right now, because that equality is not currently there across all titles, it is still a massive moment in esports. It is history unfolding right before our eyes. So again, congratulations. It's absolutely fantastic to see her get drafted. I'm excited to see what she can do for the NBA 2K League.
Right. And these changes are not going to happen overnight either. As we continue to see, female equality in esports is going to be something that comes over time. We need to celebrate the players that get in, like Gagurgi, like we saw here in the NBA 2K League. If we continue to see these players emerge into the premier leagues, we're going to continue to see support come up for them. On top of that, we're also seeing increased viewership from females in esports as well. So as these factors continue to come to play, as they continue to build upon one another, I think we're going to see more and more acceptance for females in esports. On the flip side, though, we really need female acceptance in gaming as well. Females are so heavily criticized in gaming right now still, especially online. If you look at a League of Legends, you look at an Overwatch, when a female goes into game and a male hears her voice, she is sometimes pestered because of that. People will mess with the females like, oh, what's a female doing playing video games? And that's something we got to see less and less of. And I think that's the biggest thing we're going to have to overcome. Females in gaming need to feel more respected. If they're not feeling more respected, they're not going to continue to pursue esports careers, at least as a huge aspect of females in general. We might see some breakthrough, but overall, people are going to feel discouraged early on if they're not respected in the gaming aspect alone.
Yeah, and not just respected, but treated as equals and just, you know, and Joey, you hit the nail on the head. Is for some reason, the gaming community, whenever they hear a female voice, there's three kinds of people. The first type, which I would label you and myself as, the type that's like, okay, cool, awesome, female gamer, let's go. Let's kick some butt in whatever game we're playing. The second group being the ones that harass them, that say, oh, why are you playing this game? Video games are for guys. Those guys are jerks. And the third kind, which I think is the most egregious and most disgusting, is the ones that harass them. And harass them not in the way that, you know, you make fun of your friend when they do something stupid, but harass them to make them feel completely uncomfortable and unsafe. Put them in situations or saying things that is disgusting. That's the current state of video games right now. Is those are the three people that exist. And unfortunately, that first group, Joey, that you and I are in, the people that are respectable of everyone when we go into those game lobbies and play with people, unfortunately, we're the incredible small minority. Group two and group three, unfortunately, are the disgusting majority. And I do not blame females for not wanting to get into gaming or esports because of it. There have been plenty of YouTube videos that have come out from female streamers of what they have to deal with, not just on their channel, but in game. These people that stream constantly. I remember I'm blanking on her name, but she was playing Fortnite and she was paired up with these three other players. It was a squad game. One of the guys was cool and respectful, but the other two were just absolute buffoons. We'll call them what they are. They're absolute buffoons. And when they discovered that she was a streamer and everything they said was being broadcasted on Twitch, they immediately like dodged the game. And it was absolutely stupid. But that's what they have to deal with. I feel like as soon as we can get over that barrier as a gaming community, we'll see more females come out as professional gamers in an esport level as well when they start to feel more comfortable and more respected like they should be.
100%. And again, it's not going to happen overnight, but it's viewers like you guys, listeners like you guys that need to build up that good attitude. You guys need to be kind to female gamers, to male gamers, to any kind of gamers. Don't tilt everyone off the face of the planet, regardless if they're female or male. Go in there, be positive, good luck, have fun. Little keywords like that can definitely help someone's day. If your team's getting tilted, say like, hey, we still have a chance of winning this. Let's build upon it. What can we do to make each other better? That kind of stuff. It's so rare in video games. I feel like I get a honorable teammate medal every single game because no one else says anything like that in game. And it's like, come on, guys, just be more respectful of one another and things will end up more positive in the end. So, John, it's going to happen. It's just hopefully it's going to happen. It's just going to take a lot of time, a lot of effort from everyone. ESL Asia has expanded its national championship program to Thailand, Vietnam, Malaysia, and Singapore as a combined region. The tournament will feature Dota 2 along with $12K in U.S. dollars in prizes to each of those regions. Again, Malaysia and Singapore counting as a combined region. So you're seeing three new regions pop up here. Thailand being that first, Vietnam the second, and again, a combined region between Malaysia and Singapore as that third. Each region will include eight teams with two advancing past the qualifiers. John, this to me is another big move from Dota. Dota 2 has kind of sat on the sidelines a little bit behind League of Legends in many different aspects as far as viewer counts, except for prize money. Dota 2 always leads the prize money with their international tournament at the end of the year. I want to say it pulled in, it was a little over $37 million last year, if I remember correctly, for 2018. With that being said, Dota 2 is continuing to expand, and that is a huge factor for them. It's saying, hey, Valve is going to continue to support this game. Valve is continuing to grow this game, not only as the gaming side, but also the esports side. So I love seeing when esports add new regions, especially stable esports as well.
And see, just a few segments ago, I talked about when we were discussing those two gigantic Asian companies coming together to expand esports. We mentioned the Southeast Asia region. And we named Thailand and Vietnam being two of those regions that a lot of people are looking to expand titles in. Here you go. ESL is expanding its national championship program to Thailand, Vietnam, Malaysia, and Singapore. Two that we already mentioned earlier on in this program. Two other great countries and areas that need esport representation in Malaysia and Singapore. So really, really excited to see CSGO expanding into these new countries as well.
Dota 2.
What'd I say?
You CSGO? Said CSGO.
Yeah, no, it's Dota 2. It's, you know, CSGO.
So many games, so many titles.
So many games, so many titles. And they're all over the place. You know, Joey, I'm bound to make a mistake every now and then.
There you go. And then we have the Mars Dota League, again, sticking with Dota. The MDL Dota 2 Major confirmed to be hosted at Disneyland Paris. This will be May 4th through May 12th, and it is going to be held at the Disney Events Arena in front of a possible 6,300 spectators. And, John, fun fact, this is the first time that Mars Dota League has been held outside of China, or will be hosted outside of China. So really exciting stuff here. Again, Dota continuing to expand, not only to that Southeast Asian region, but now bringing a major championship to Paris as well.
I cannot wait for Mickey and Minnie Mouse to present the trophy to the winning team. That is going to be absolutely... Are we going to have the MVP of the team look into the camera and be like, hey, so-and-so, you just won the Dota 2 Major. Where are you going now? I'm going to Disneyland. I want to see this. I need to see Minnie and Mickey Mouse make an appearance in esports, and I need it yesterday. this is going to be so cool. Not to steal the thunder from our next topic here, but Disney has been a big player in esports also. They're making big moves themselves, so seeing this being held at one of their resorts and amusement parks isn't really shocking. I'm kind of curious just to see how far Disney's willing to go when it comes to esports.
Yeah, it feels like Disney's taking a very slow and steady approach to it. They've kind of watched throughout segments of growth for esports and how is it going? Should we continue to expand it? And we saw them expand with ESPN opening esports over there. And they're continuing to expand with, again, our next topic here, the Overwatch League Stage 1 and 2 semifinals and finals, as well as the All-Star Game, will air on ABC. And then Stage 3 will be on ESPN2, also owned by that Disney company. So, John, this is huge. We're seeing three league championships on Disney platforms. And on top of that, we're seeing the All-Star Game as well. There's still the rest to be announced, which is probably them waiting to see how these ones do in the first three stages.
Yeah, and this is where Disney is really crushing it. And right now, Disney is already showing some matches on Sundays. I think they might be doing other days in that too. But Disney XD is showing Overwatch League games on weekends also, live, which was huge. And it's really, you know, aside from, you know, CSGO and the E-League, which you can see on TBS on Friday nights, you know, this is like, I'm not going to call it prime time, but it's daytime viewing on a Sunday on a major Disney channel. That's huge. We've seen League of Legends on ESPN before for the finals. So ESPN, ABC, the entire Disney family there has been pretty open with esports, and they're continuing this now, not just showing league stages on Disney XD now, but now having the All-Star Game, Stage 1 and 2 semifinals and finals live on cable television. This is that next step. So it's incredibly exciting if you're an Overwatch League fan to see, you know, hey, maybe I don't want to watch this next upcoming finals on my phone or on my iPad or on my computer. Maybe I want to kick back in my mom and dad's recliner, hang out with some friends from school, and watch the Overwatch finals on TV. It's really cool.
Yeah, not only that, but I think this is a really exciting move, too, seeing them take it to a new platform. And in another sense, I mean, ESPN is a cable television thing. It can be streamed. It can be watched on cable. But ESPN2, we've already seen. Now we're going to ABC. This is something completely different. You're going to pull in a completely different audience. And I like the fact that Disney is trying to weigh it out. So we've tried it with sports fans, traditional sports fans, and this is how it did. Now, how's it going to do with that regular family audience, that regular cable TV audience that ABC pulls in? I like the fact they're willing to experiment with that. We've already seen TBS do a lot of experimenting as well, and it's gone pretty positive for them as far as CSGO and Rocket League go. Now seeing ABC and Disney jump in with Overwatch League, I'm really excited to see how it goes. Niantic. John, this takes us back to the top of the show. The makers of Pokemon Go have announced a Harry Potter game, Harry Potter Wizards Unite, the mobile game. I know you and I are both super excited for this when it was first announced. Now we have a title. Now we have images. Now we have an idea of what this game is going to be like. Give us a lowdown of what we're looking forward to here.
So it's very Pokemon Go-esque. I would expect nothing less from the creators of Pokemon Go and Niantic here. But the issue is the gameplay. Pokemon Go suffered from a lot of issues when it was launched. It was a nasty rollout. It was a game that was broken for well over a year after its launch. A lot of people would still argue it's still broken. What really helped save it was the fact that they integrated with the Nintendo Switch and the fact that you could transfer Pokemon from Pokemon Go into Pokemon I Choose You, either the Eevee or Pikachu edition, which was really cool. And that's really what helped save that as a mobile game. I know a lot of people that still play that game religiously on their phone constantly. I know, Joey, you and I kind of took a step back. I had a little bit of a relapse, but now I still haven't loaded it up in like 2 months now. But, you know, it's going to be interesting. And I'm a huge Harry Potter fan, big Harry Potter fan, and I'll probably gonna give this game a shot, but the idea of the game itself is weird. You travel to different muggle places, as they call it, throughout the world. So, like, your Starbucks and kind of like your gyms in Pokemon Go. So, you're sitting here, it's like, okay, that kind of makes sense. But then you also have the ability to see AR editions of certain Harry Potter areas that you can see from the movies or that you read about in the books. Everything from Hogwarts to Ollivander's Wand Shop. And, you know, it's cool. You know, it's cool if you're a Harry Potter fan. I'm kind of reserved about it because of how bad Pokemon Go was launched and how that game is kind of like, I don't know, still broken. It's like the PUBG of mobile games. It's a broken game that people still play because of nostalgia purposes. I'm concerned that's what's going to happen to this game. Not a lot has come out about this game. There's some screenshots out there. There's a basic idea around it. But other than that, personally, I'm not too sold on it, Joey. I'm curious as to what your thoughts are in this game.
Expelliarmus, I will not be playing this one. No, thank you.
That was cute.
I mean, when it was first announced, I was like, ooh, this could be really exciting. Pokemon Go, their biggest issue, like you said, was the rollout. They had so many bugs, but they continued to roll it out worldwide instead of fixing them. It was a huge issue. We're seeing that same issue with Anthem almost now. Obviously, Anthem dropped everything at once, but now we're seeing them have to go back and fix these bugs because games keep launching with all these bugs and they'd want to fix them later on, and it's just, it doesn't work very well. People are not very happy with that. This one, it feels almost, okay, it's going to be different, but I am going to go with the term reskinned. It feels like a skinned version of Pokemon Go in a sense. The Pokemon are now just magical creatures. They have certain aspects here, like Pokestops are now, what do they call them in here, Muggle locations? Or foundables. So I don't know. It feels too much like a reskin version for me. I love Harry Potter. I love the universe. The graphics are not good enough. The concept is not different enough. I don't see myself being pulled into this one, and I have so much limited time on what I do on mobile already. Do I want to walk around my phone casting spells at these imaginary creatures that I really caught 2 years ago in Pokemon Go in a different skin?
So Joey, do you know what you catch those foundables with?
Let me guess. My magic wand that is pretty much a Pokeball?
First, I believe they're called, so there's confoundables, which are like your Pokemon, but not your Pokemon. And then, the spells are your Pokeball. This is going to be interesting. Joey, for the sake of the show, I will play this when it launches and I'll give you a review then. But I do not see this game staying on my phone longer than a week, and even a week might be generous. So before we bash it too hard and we continue on to other topics, Joey, just since we're on the topic of Harry Potter, I need to know, what is your Harry Potter house?
I am Ravenclaw.
You're a Ravenclaw? That
I am.
So
intelligent, smart, you know.
I'm sorry.
You better not laugh at that.
I forgot to mute my microphone there. I apologize. It should come as to no surprise to anyone who knows me. I'm a Slytherin, so it makes complete sense to me.
You're interesting because I feel like you kind of fall between Gryffindor and Slytherin almost. Because you have like that courageous, like, I'm just going to charge into anything attitude. But then you also have that I'm going to pretend to be emo here and there attitude. So I don't know. It's interesting. You kind of fall. You know what I mean? Like,
emo has nothing to do with Slytherin. That was a brutal shot at our emo community here, Joey.
Okay, I'm talking about like you're. Okay, emo's the wrong word. Let's go with punk. Let's say punk. Like your punk music attitude makes me think more Slytherin.
You're not helping yourself.
Okay. I think you fall between Gryffindor and Slytherin. I think the hat is sitting on your head and it's like, what should we do with this one? And I don't know. Maybe they just say, let's make him a professor. I don't know.
Maybe it's Joey's sorting hat and it says I belong in the My Chemical Romance Club or something.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Emo is not the right word.
Joey, enough of your hatred on the punk / emo scene. I feel like we have better topics to discuss.
Okay. My little Griffin Slytherin thing. Maybe you're a Griffin with a snake head.
Oh, that is Joey.
That's where we're going to place you at.
Hey, Joey, I heard League of Legends happened this past weekend.
I really don't want to leave this topic, but we will. Let's move on over into the LEC. So League of Legends happened this last week, the LEC being 1 week ahead of the LCS. We've continued to cover this throughout the season, and there's really exciting matchups as we come down to the wire here. The standings are getting tighter and tighter, and there's 1 week left in the LEC. But before we head to that week, John, how do our standings look in the LEC entering that last week?
Well, G2 still has sole possession of first place, and they will for the remainder of the split. They are your first place team at 13-3. Unfortunately, our three-way tie at second place, even if they win out, still will not have enough to catch up to G2, which is Origin, Splice, and Team Vitality sitting in a three-way tie for second place at 10-6 each. Joey, Fnatic has crawled from the depths of Giants, being a shot at the team that's no longer in the league. Fnatic in fifth place at 9-7. Schalke 04, 8-8 in sixth place. Seventh place, two-way tie between SK Gaming and Misfits at 7-9. Excel Esports in ninth place, 4-12. And Rogue, well, they're just happy to be there, too. At 10th place, 2-14.
Rip.
That is brutal. So let's take a look at the final week of the LEC, formerly known as the EULCS. And Joey, I'm kind of curious. What matchup should I be watching in the final week here in the LEC?
John, I'm going to have to say Misfits again. I said them last week, but I think both the Misfits games are the ones to focus on here. Misfits against Splice on Friday, March 15th, and then Misfits up against G2 on Saturday, March 16th. This is a Misfits team that is right outside of the playoff contention after losing to Schalke last week. They need to pretty much win both of these to make their way back in. With that being said, Misfits has been very lackluster the last couple weeks. They haven't shown as much as they need to. Splice, on the other hand, has looked a little bit better. G2 looking a little lackluster in and of themselves. But now G2, the final gatekeeper for the Misfits, potentially at the end. I believe other things have to fall the way of Misfits. It's not only in their control at this point. It looks like they are one win out from that sixth place spot. But again, Schalke has the tiebreaker. So Misfits not looking too good, but they pretty much need to win both these to stand a chance. Whew, my throat tonight. But yeah, overall, I think it's going to be very exciting to see how this plays out, especially these third and fourth seeds as well. Fnatic now on, I believe, a six-game run coming in the second half of the season. Are we going to see them move into a potential third spot, fourth spot, where they can pick their opponent after being at the bottom of the table the first couple weeks of the season? We're going to have to wait and see how that plays out. But really, fifth and sixth, it looks like Fnatic, Schalke, SK and Misfits are really your teams vying for those final two playoff spots. Fnatic having a possibility of moving up if they get a couple wins this week into that third or fourth spot. So really exciting things, John. I'm excited to see how this all plays out. The LEC very competitive at the end here. With that, let's head on into the LCS. Let me pull up their standings. And for the LCS, we have Team Liquid on top still at 13-1. Cloud9 in second at 11-3. TSM 9-5 in that third place spot. FlyQuest at 7-7 in fourth. Down to fifth place, Golden Guardians at 6-8. Optic Gaming at 6-8 as well. Seventh place, Counter Logic Gaming, 5-9, and Clutch Gaming, 5-9. And in ninth place, tied for last, we have Echo Fox at 4-10 and 100 Thieves, which a lot of people expected to be a top contender this season at 4-10 as well. Moving into this week's games, John, who are you looking forward to the most?
So the big matchup that I want to focus on here real quick is between CLG and Optic Gaming. Both of these teams currently sitting in that last spot. Optic Gaming has that advantage there at 6-8, tied with Golden Guardians in that final spot. But CLG is just one win away from possibly tying Optic Gaming. That game is going to be absolutely massive. If Optic Gaming wins that game, they put themselves in an incredible position to make it into the playoffs. And CLG really hurts themselves going forward. Again, they're 1 week behind the LEC, so there still is some time here. But the battleground right here really is between 5th and 7th place because of those ties. It's really a four-team race here to the finish for those final two spots in 5th and 6th place for the EU. Pardon me, for the NA LCS. Well, it's just the LCS now. Joey, it's a hard habit to break. But that's the game I'm looking forward to, is CLG versus Optic Gaming.
I mean, even the 4th spot as well, John. FlyQuest just one win above Golden Guardians and Optic Gaming as well. So really 4 through 6 are almost open in the NA. But again, there is that extra week, so we'll have to see how things play out.
Absolutely. And Team Liquid absolutely dominating still, 13-1 now. That's right up there with Fnatic's amazing 18-0 run. Obviously, it's not going to be an 18-0. It's not going to be the perfect season. But for LCS, that is really, really impressive.
What is the record? Is it Immortals with, like, one loss?
I believe so.
I think it is as well.
Yeah, I believe Immortals, and then they completely bombed out in the playoffs. I don't see Team Liquid bombing out in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. They are incredibly strong. Even when they start slow, even when they take their time, even when they decide at the 30-minute mark, oh, yeah, that's right, we forgot, we're Team Liquid, and they just switch it on and just absolutely demolish people. I don't see them failing anytime soon. Team Liquid is truly a juggernaut built for high expectations going into Worlds, and they're really proving everyone right. Their one loss came against TSM when Team Liquid kind of made some stupid mistakes. TSM, being a veteran-led team with Bjergsen, they took advantage of it. They're not, low-tier players that you can get away with making those mistakes on. TSM, they are professionals. They're amazing esport players, and Team Liquid fell to them. I don't see them making that same mistake again. So Team Liquid is just so dang impressive.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see if they get distracted by the new Harry Potter mobile game heading into playoffs.
Oh, probably not. Oh, my gosh. Well, Nation, that does it for another episode of the Level Up Podcast. But before you go, head on over to patreon.com/OTN and consider becoming a part of the Overtime Network. In return, you will get exclusive access to content that nobody else in the world can get, unless they are a part of the Overtime Network. If you enjoy listening to the Level Up Podcast, let us know. Leave us a review on iTunes and Google Play, or even shoot us a comment on SoundCloud. We would love to hear from you. In fact, we love to hear from all of our listeners so much, we have other ways that you can reach us. Joey, where else can the Level Up Nation go to interact with us and this show?
Level Up Nation, head on over to Instagram, Twitter, and or Facebook and find us at the Level Up Podcast. That is the LVLUP Podcast. You can also find us streaming regularly on Twitch, twitch.tv/OTN_live.
All right, make sure you tune in next week as we cover the latest and greatest in gaming and esports news. Do your ears a favor. Hit that subscribe button to know when the next episode of the Level Up Podcast is ready for your listening pleasures. We will catch you all next week. Remember, be nice to your fellow gamers online. And as always,
level up.